everybody, and welcome back to the Disney Plus or Minus podcast.
We have a very special episode, a half one, number 44.5, also known as 44 and a half, 44 and two fourths, 44 and four eighths, 44 wow. and 16 30 seconds, 44 and 64 out of 128. What other numbers from the game 2048 can I come up with? 1024 out of 2048. 2048 out of 4096, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it, that's what we got for you here. Danielle, why are we calling this 44.5?
Well, first of all, we're doing this special episode because it is Spooktober. And, you know, we got to do that extra Spooktober content. And if you tuned in last week, you would have heard that in episode 44, we covered the OG Disney Channel original movie, Under Wraps, made in the year 1997. And you also would have heard that very recently, and by very recently, I mean like 2 days ago, Disney Channel released a remake of Under Wraps, which...
Doop, doop, doop.
Yeah.
And by 2 days ago, by the time you listen to this, we mean like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
But you get the idea.
You get the idea. 2 days from this recording. Whoops. We were really on it. We were just super excited to...
So excited. So this special episode is going to be a little different. First of all, it's going to be shorter. I'm saying that before we've even recorded, so I don't know that factually, but I assume it will be shorter.
Knowing us, like I'm not holding my breath.
Hard to say how long it's going to be. And number two, we're not going to do a math bust. We're going to do a stat comparison, some of which are numbers, which is math. Some of which are, so we have some quantitative data and we have some qualitative data.
Exactly.
About our two movies.
So it's all
data is math. It's all stats.
There you go. It all makes sense. We're mathy people here.
And what we're going to do after that is we are going to give some comparisons of a few scenes in the movie. What are some things that are different? What are some things that were strikingly the same? And then, of course, our post-movie thoughts.
As always. So let's get to it.
Let's get into it. Okay, so the first stat that we are comparing is the release date of the movie. So the old version of the movie was released October 25th, 1997.
And the new one, as I just mentioned, was released on October 1st, 2021. So just a couple weeks ago from when you are listening to this. And yeah, how many years has that been?
24 year. Why couldn't they have just waited one more and made it a 25?
25th like anniversary special. Right? That would have made more sense.
Like, here's the thing. I know they were doing this so that they could get Under Wraps on Disney Plus because the other one had some concerning content. But you could wait one more year.
You could have. No one was like...
You could have.
I think we were dying for it, but like...
We were.
We would have waited, I think. I don't know.
I couldn't have waited one more... I personally couldn't have waited one more year for it, but I think most of the general population could have.
Yes, that is true. Yes.
But it was a choice. I do love the number 24 because that is my birthday. It
True.
Also has so many factors.
So many factors.
So I love that number.
Love it.
I feel like I've said that on this podcast.
Yes, we have discussed it, but it's
amazing.
Still rings true.
Okay, second stat. The runtime of the old movie, 1 hour and 35 minutes.
The runtime for the new movie, 1 hour and 35 minutes.
They did something special here.
That is...
Now, I have two comments on this. One, when I look it up on the internet says it's 95 minutes, so 1 hour 35.
Mm-hmm.
And when I recorded it, the info about the show says 1 hour and 35 minutes as well. My recording was 1 hour and 36, and I'm like, that's okay, because it gives a little before and a little after. But it had a few commercials. So I feel like it was under 1 hour 35. But then when you look it up, it says the movie's 95 minutes. So I was confused. But anywhere you look, this is what it says. But there were commercials.
That is weird. I recorded it and I feel like my recording was like 1 hour 46.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Long. And I was like, oh,
how
because
bizarre.
I like recorded it through like live TV and it had commercials. Yeah. I fast forwarded through them.
I recorded through live TV also. Well, whatever. They're both 1 hour 35. They did a perfect... This is a similarity,
exact
as
remake.
You can see. They actually made the same exact movie. Everything was precisely the same.
That's not true. But...
Okay. Here's an interesting stat. Filming locations. The original movie was filmed in California.
No specificity on where? Just California.
They did. I think it's at Chico. Chico?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Where was that?
California.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And the new one was filmed in Nova Scotia, Canada. A little international jaunt there.
Right? I don't get it. Why?
What a lot of stuff is filmed in Canada. Like I know like Riverdale is filmed in Canada. There's just like a lot of sets in Canada. Like,
okay.
Like they have TV a lot of shows space. Are often filmed in Canada. Maybe things are cheaper there. I don't know. Hard to say. Good for them.
Good for them. Good for them. All right. This one shocked me. Cast size. So the original movie, the cast size was 34 cast members.
And the new movie, there was only 23. Huh.
Yeah. I was very surprised by this.
I'm like trying to go through my head. Like I know there's at least one person that's not in this second movie.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. I was very upset about it. Very upset about it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
whatever.
Like COVID times, they were like, let's just try
That's
and keep it as
thinking.
Small as possible. Yeah. We'll try and cut some cut corners. That makes some sense.
Exactly. All right. Here was, I think, the biggest difference possible. The genres. Okay. So the original movie is classified as family, adventure, and comedy.
I'm shook by these genres. The new one is classified as action, reality, and holiday.
I didn't even know there was an option.
First of all, in what world is this reality?
Reality. I peed myself. I literally laughed out loud because this is when you hit info on the TV. This is what it gives on Disney Channel.
I'm so, here's the one bad thing is that, so this movie will be on Disney Plus on October 8th, which by the time this episode comes out, that would have passed, but not by the time we're recording. And I'm so curious to see what those genres are going to be when you can look it up on Disney Plus.
I wonder if they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, we'll update you all on that later
okay.
on.
So the next one is the one-liner, which you heard in the last episode for the old is 12-year-old friends help a mummy on Halloween. And we had commentary on this that we were like, are they 12? Blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about that.
Okay, cool. The one-liner, which looks like a run-on sentence here, for the new one says, three friends try to save their mummified friend, Harold, from greedy criminals by returning him to his resting place before midnight on Halloween. Accurate. And could also describe the first movie.
Exactly. And so I was like, oh, this is not the one-liner. And then I was looking and I was like, wait, this is quite literally one sentence.
One sentence.
Literally.
One.
So
that's all.
There we go. Okay. The age ratings. I don't know what to call this. Age rating, the rating, the what is this
the
called?
Movie rating. Yeah.
The movie rating. So the old one is rated G for general audiences, which I will read you the definition of that in a second.
Okay. The new one is rated TVY7. Do you know what that means?
Yeah. So it's a TV movie and it's for youth starting at age 7.
So if you're under 6, 7, you can't watch it. Yeah, no.
Scary. Yeah.
Too okay. scary, sorry.
So I was like thinking that the new one was going to have I thought the old one was going to be like PG-13 and the new one was Y7 because the rating for G, this is what the definition is. So in the words of Motion Picture Association, G is for general audiences. All ages admitted, meaning there is nothing in theme, language, nudity, sex, violence, or other matters that the rating board thinks would offend parents whose younger children view the picture. Excuse me, because there are literal references to nudity, wearing a bra,
sex, celibacy, violence.
But maybe in 1997, but I feel like it was even more taboo in 1997 than it is now, talking about celibacy and such.
Like, yes, but also I feel like they were kind of just like loose and off the cuff with some other shit.
Yeah.
Like that people are like more kind of like, oh, maybe like kids like shouldn't be watching it these days.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, good for them.
Good for them.
Sometimes they pull these out of their assholes. But yeah. All right. And then the reviews, we knew the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes for the old movie was 57%.
And there's unfortunately no audience score yet because the movie is so new for the new one. But there is one critic rating who gave it a whopping 4 out of 10.
And also in her written description, she like said positive things about the movie. She was like, a great watch for the kids, but only gave it a 40%.
But gave it a 4? Yikes. Doesn't Rude. Sound great to me.
Doesn't sound great to me either, but 40% is on, well, that's significantly lower than what Don't Look Under the Bed got. So I have no commentary, actually. Because that got a, don't you forget it, 69%.
Nice.
Rip.
Before we even get into like the contents of the movie, I will say there was a euphoric moment for me watching this movie, recording it from like live TV, where a Disney Channel star who I have no idea who the hell they are, but they did the classic like, you are watching Disney Channel, and did like the little outline of like the ears with the little wand thing, and I just thought, wow, what a treat that they still fucking do this. It made me so happy, and that could have been the entire movie. I was excited.
I really think they should have that at the beginning of every DCOM that's on Disney Plus, because it is a Disney Channel original movie, but yeah. Alas, they deprive us.
I know.
Maybe what we should do is we should just pull up a YouTube video of that first.
Every time.
And then watch the movie every time.
And like, and the we'll song, like, star. Let's watch a Disney Channel a Disney movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. The pregame to the DCOM.
So I will say that most of the storyline of this movie is exactly the same as the original. So I kind of just commented on things that I realized were different. And this ended up being like the stuff that I really liked from the old one that was cut out. Mm. And so I'm just going to start with the very first thing, which was in the original movie, the Even Stevens dad is the first guy on screen. He is not on your screen. He is not in this new version, unfortunately.
No.
And so there's no Even Stevens dad, just in case you were wondering. Sadly, we don't get this iconic Disney father on our screen.
No. In fact, the whole role of his character is actually technically cut out, because he played a dad in a movie that the kids were watching in the movie. And that whole like family setup in the first like 5 minutes of the movie is actually replaced by a babysitter and like the kid that she's watching. So that was like immediately a first difference. Also, I'm going to backtrack for 1 second. Even a bigger difference even before that was the lack of the 5 minutes of opening credits.
5 minute opening. I realized that as well. They did not give us a 5 minute opening. Maybe it's because they only had 23 cast members and not 34. So they didn't.
So true. Exactly.
Show everyone's name beforehand.
Yeah. It started immediately. And I was like, oh, we're jumping right in. I didn't have a buffer this time.
Jeez. So also very early in the movie, we meet a character named Buzzy, who is a lady version of Bruce. So Marshall and that's his name.
Gilbert. Right? Yeah. Marshall and Gilbert.
And Gilbert go to this like comic book store to see who would be Bruce in the old movie. Now it's this lady Buzzy, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so right from the get go, we're like, okay, so it's not exactly the same.
Exactly. Yeah. Same like kind of vibe though, where like Gilbert is the really big scaredy cat and Marshall like loves horror and gore and scary stuff. And so instead of there being this whole like thing about Mr. Kubot, their scary neighbor, and like him needing to get his money from delivering newspapers from him, he actually just like Marshall just tells Gilbert to go ding dong ditch his door as a confidence booster, like a way to like get over his fears, not even as like a I double dog dare you, but like, no, like let's face your fears, let's do this. Like he was like weirdly encouraging, but like made him do this like prank as his way to do that.
So I realized that they actually had to change this, because who the hell gets a newspaper delivered by a paper boy in
2021? 100%.
Makes no sense.
Yes.
There were a lot of things that I realized they had to change because it made no sense 24 years later. Like, no one has a paper boy.
I agree.
Yeah. And so also, like, when they ding-dong ditch him, he doesn't have a scary dog, so there's no Sandlot vibes. Mm-mm. It's different. Just old Mr. Kubot by himself. And the other thing that's super different is that right away, that first night, they see, like, what looks like a container with a body in it, what looks like the shape of a coffin being taken out from his home.
Yeah.
So they're kind of onto him from the beginning. It's not like they hear that he's dead. So there's no faking of your own death in this movie.
Big
which
plot
I think
difference.
Big difference. Because it takes a certain kind of crazy to fake your own death, I think.
That is true. I'd argue that this guy was like more crazy though in some ways, right? He's weird. Another thing that I don't know if like you noticed this, but obviously in the original movie, there's the whole thing with Marshall's mom's boyfriend, Ted, and we still have Ted. We still have the same situation where like Marshall doesn't really like Ted because he obviously is like feels some type of way about his mom dating. But like within the first interaction we get, the first like night that Ted's there, we get a conversation between Marshall and his mom about the fact that she's been divorced for 5 years and he has to like, you know, she has to move on and he has to accept that. And he was telling her that it's too soon. Like we didn't get any of this conversation until like mm-hmm. the end of the movie last time. Like Marshall was very open about like why he was upset about it, like Ted pretty much from the start. And I was wondering if like, I don't know, were they trying to like make it more like for kids who like have that like feeling of like, you know, divorced parents and dealing with that. I don't know. Like, were they trying to like put more of that into it maybe. From the start?
Yeah. They were really building up that like plot point.
Yeah.
Another major difference is that our first like quote, quote school moment is them at the Museum for Egyptian History the Museum for Egyptian History class, which is that history class and you're doing an Egyptian unit. I don't know. So this immediately gives a reason for their fascination with the mummy, which I thought was a cool angle. Like they're learning about it in school. We also learn here that Amy is not their friend already when the movie starts in this version. She just gets paired up with them for like this field trip thing. And she's like the new girl. We find out that she moved here with her dad and her stepdad. We knew nothing about her family in the last movie. So I feel like they were like leaning into Marshall and Amy's family and a lot more. And we heard nothing about Gilbert's crazy mother the entire movie, which I thought was really interesting to take out. Cause I think that was like supposed to be the whole comedy of the old version.
Yeah. And, but like we said in the last episode, like it made no sense though. Like there was no like resolution. There was no point to it basically besides so being these weird one-offs. So like
they cut it out.
They found their comedy somewhere else.
Well, this one actually is not categorized as a comedy.
It's reality, actually.
It's reality. Also, we do meet the character Todd, who in the last movie is the guy that had a crush on Amy. In this movie, he's not a shy kid that has a crush on her. He's a bully.
Yeah, this was shocking to me. Yeah. When I heard them call him Todd, I was like, this is Todd?
Yeah, he's a recurring bully character. Also, instead of making a joke to deny him about him watching an Olsen twin movie, she makes a joke about him like eating laxatives, which I thought was kind of weird.
It was weird. She basically convinced him that like the candy that he stole from Gilbert or Marshall, whichever one, was gonna make him shit himself a lot. So
but also I think that for two reasons it was great to take out the Olsen's twin joke. One, no one would get it. And two, that joke to me wasn't funny anymore because I would love a guy who watched
exactly.
the Olsen's twin movie. But they were playing into, I think, the 1997 hyper type of masculinity.
Absolutely. Like
vibe.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily like everyone's, what's the word? Like perception of like a middle school boy anymore.
It's very different now. At the museum, we also get... I feel like we like front load information in this movie where like things were like much more slow burn last time. Like we get a lot more information early on this one. So like we get the whole backstory of the mummies from the museum, like worker. I don't know what do you call that? There's a word for it. I forget it. The person who works at the museum. Yeah, sure. The tour guide. She's telling them that like they had two mummies, and they were set to be shipped to the museum, and like they were rumored to like be in love, but they had to be separated, and one of them got stolen. So like there's this whole like scandal to begin with where like this mummy was stolen, and also we learn about the love story very early on, where that's something we learn like really later in the first movie. Just like different vibe around the whole mummy thing, but like basically it like I think this almost makes more sense how they learn this information.
It does, and it then makes more sense why they're going into Kubat's house. So that's kind of like the next thing. They're going in literally in search of this mummy because they saw the coffin shaped thing or whatever. And most of this scene is the same. Gilbert's scared and stays upstairs. He ends up being the one that finds the mummy, and it like falls on him. and it like the moonlight shines on it and wakes it up. And one thing I noticed about this mummy is that this mummy is much smaller. It's not as large. Like, it doesn't seem like a very large man.
Yeah.
It just looks like a much smaller mummy. Also, another point, Kubot and his goons arrive immediately when the kids leave the house. Yes. So we like find out that he's working with people right away, which we didn't find out till toward the end of the last movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we also had no fake death here, so he needed some sort of motive.
Exactly.
We get that some scenes... Oh, yeah, you go.
I just want to say one other thing is... remember in the last movie, Marshall said that he like knew that the mummy was talking to him or whatever. We don't get any of that here. In fact, the mummy has to stay at Marshall's house by default. Like, the kids are basically like nose goes, like something like that.
Yeah.
But last time he wanted him. So I thought that was really important.
Yes. I feel like I kind of hit on that later.
You do. I saw that.
Yeah. One like difference here is that the only time we saw in the last movie the mummy ingesting anything was when he had that orange soda and was like slurping orange soda, and that was it. This mummy eats a lot.
Like,
he is feeding him pizza with hot sauce. He fucking loves the hot sauce. He's like gulping it down. It's very strange. I thought that was really weird that this mummy suddenly ate. I don't know why. I was like, you're dead. Why do you need to eat?
I know. Also, we find out why this mummy is named Harold. Randomly, it's just named Harold after Marshall's dead grandpa. Rip.
Rip to that dead grandpa.
We also, on top of getting a lot more of Harold eating, we also get a lot more of him like exploring. Like, he's looking at himself in the mirror. He's eating honey. He's using the Alexa, which they call Terry in this movie. Mm-hmm. He's scared of the Roomba. So they do a lot more of like present day references, whereas like in the last movie they had like the high karate and, you know, those older references, and the movie the song All By Myself, they didn't have any of that. Yeah. They had more like technological stuff.
Yeah, this basically, this whole like time that we get of Harold playing around with these things, in my head, like replaced him exploring the outside world where he like ran into the hospital and went to the drive-through and all that stuff. We kind of just got him doing this stuff in the house with all of these like 21st century gadgets, basically.
Yes. When he does eventually escape, two things that were similar that I thought were hilarious is, one, people in the street don't bat an eye at him.
Nope, they
and
don't care.
Two, no. And two, he still sees the museum ad on a bus.
Yes, I did like that. I liked that nod.
Yeah. Also, Kubot shows up at the kid's house.
Weird. This was weird, right?
And he's like, did you, like, there was a break-in at my house yesterday. Like, did you see it? And they're like, nope, didn't see anything. And I'm like, okay, so very much he didn't fake his own death because he's actually confronting children. Yeah.
Right? Like, why do you immediately go to these kids? Like,
right.
So strange.
So weird.
I would say, like, we finally get another scene with Buzzy. I feel like we saw her really briefly. Yes. And then she, like, disappeared. And, like, now we're finally, like, back to Buzzy. And they're going to her to get the info. Similarly to how they did with Bruce, but like he seemed to know more off the top, where she was like, oh, like there's like, oh, also they went like with the mummy. They brought the mummy to Buzzy.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Last time they were telling Bruce, like they were talking about it hypothetically. They just bring Harold straight to Buzzy.
Exactly.
They do a lot more with the amulet in this movie, because in the last movie we didn't find out about it until he was with the queen.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were like, oh, like that's like, you know, the amulet to show their love or whatever. But this time she like reads an inscription on it, and she like gets the hieroglyphics off of it to basically figure out the whole bit of, you know, he has to be back in the coffin by midnight on Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Also, there was, in my head, a spookier person that Kubot was working for. Like, in the last movie, there was like the buyer, you know, where he was going to come and buy whatever it was.
The mystery buyer.
Yeah. And who they wind up kind of threatening at the end anyway. So like, I feel like this person didn't have a lot of power. They just were like, you know, going to buy something from them. This person, this woman who seems to be like in charge of everything, seemed like way scarier than Kubot and all of his goons. Mm-hmm. And like clearly was in charge and was just like, if you don't get me my fucking mummy by the end of the day, like I'm gonna have your head, basically.
Yes.
And I thought that was interesting.
So after we hear all of this about Kubot, we get this weird plot point, which I don't know why it had to exist, which is the kids have to make a movie for their Egyptian class, like about mummies. And so they make this weird, like, almost like Indiana Jones style adventure film, and they actually have Harold in it. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing I pulled from this, though, is that the mom and Ted walk into the garage where they're filming, and they see the mummy, and the mom's like, he doesn't look like a sixth grader. And I was like, so they actually say that they're sixth graders, aka 11 to 12 years old, at this point in the movie, yes. Which was exciting, because last time we were like, wait, does it ever mention that they're 12?
And spoiler alert, I don't know if you also said this later, there is a point towards the end of the movie where they quite literally say they are 12 years old.
Yes, in the car, right?
Yeah, they're like, how can we do this? Like, we're 12. Yeah, and I was like, they did it.
There you
they
go.
They told us, they confirmed it.
Exactly.
That is funny though, yeah.
So we flash back to Kubat's house where he finds Gilbert's inhaler. So in the last movie, Gilbert had left behind his glasses when they were searching and actually found them. So there was nothing left. But this time he never found his inhaler. Kubat found it. So now he knows that the kids broke into his house. So they literally go to their house again and are like banging on the door of like their little clubhouse they've built, trying to attack them. And as the kids try to escape, they like try to attack the kids. And then Harold like beats the mummies up. He like holds them up and like assaults them. It's not really assaulting them, like beating them up. It's kind of just like dropping them.
He does punch a couple of them, I think, and they just like go flying. My literal note was, Harold kicks the goon's ass, question mark.
I love that.
Yeah.
One other thing. So at this point in the old movie, there had been already two times that they had been given important information by a character who is not in this movie, sadly, yes, which is this small little rascal's child. Leonard. Leonard is just straight up not a character in this movie. Instead, for a stupid reason, they have Ted, the boyfriend of Marshall's mother, give the information to them, like randomly on the street, that like this ice cream factory is the one with the truck or something. And I was like, that's so disappointing. They couldn't have just found a small child to use.
Yeah, I feel like Leonard could have been still part of this whole gag. But yeah, I don't know. It was weird. I missed him. I did miss him.
I miss Leonard.
Yeah. So we still have the same plot of like, there's this like abandoned ice cream warehouse factory thing, and that's where they're going to do this sketchy deal, whatever. But before that, of course, they need to go to the Halloween dance to get help from Buzzy, aka in the old movie, that was Bruce. So that's where they're all headed. And obviously Kubat and his goons are going to follow them there. We meet Todd again. He's being a dick. There was one thing though, was that he was dressed as a visual pun. He was a serial killer. And I just wanted to point out that I too have been a serial killer for Halloween.
You really?
Yes.
That's
yes,
amazing. I love that. Really did enjoy his costume. I did.
It was good. It's a good costume. And then, oh my God. do you know what I'm talking about? Like this thing that happens at the dance. So we get this like scene again of the mummy Harold seeing, like spotting a Cleopatra and like wanting to interact with her. And then she assumes that they want to dance. So they dance. And we get what I think is like the longest dance scene in all of any movies ever that have ever existed.
It went on and on and on. And I just thought, what is the reason for this?
What is the reason? Harold was dancing up a storm on the dance floor. I just don't know why. I just don't know why this was a thing. And everyone loved it. And people were like recording it on their phones. And we didn't need it. We didn't need 5 minutes of it.
We
could have taken like 15 seconds of it and I've been like, haha. But yeah.
Right. But here we are.
Here we are.
So essentially the same thing happens where Kubat and the goons start chasing them through the haunted house, yada, yada, yada. Except here, when they finally get outside, Kubat takes the amulet from Harold, which we now know he was already wearing at this point. When he takes the amulet, Harold like freezes back into a dead mummy and like collapses. And so then they just take him off to the factory. The kids and Buzzy still escape in a hearse. Don't you worry.
Of course. Of course they do. This is where they say they are 12. Get confirmation of their age. It is great. And then they do a similar type deal in terms of like when they're at the factory, they distract them with all of the stuff that like Buzzy's got in her car that was for the Halloween decorations.
And Gilbert still stays back.
But Gilbert even is more dramatic in this moment. He says he's like going to go home. He's like, nah, I'm out. And like last time Marshall was like, it's okay, Gilbert. Like you do you. This time Marshall was upset that he was staying back. It was a different vibe for sure.
And also very weird, when they go inside, we get a scene of Gilbert outside, which we did not get last time. We like basically forgot that Gilbert existed. Yeah. And it's him talking to an owl. And like, I think that him talking to this owl like convinces him that he should actually go in and help them. We had no idea why he changed his mind last time. It could have also been an owl.
It could have also been an owl. Yeah. That was a scene that was like, they filmed that scene and cut it out. And then this time around, they're like, we got to keep that owl scene in.
Yes, they gotta. So one major difference is that they don't really like beat anyone up like they did in the old movie. And also when Gilbert arrives, he doesn't crash a car and kill the goons with the entire ceiling. So no one gets as injured. I think that was a big difference. It wasn't as violent. There also wasn't a gun held up to the kids. So they made this way less violent.
They definitely did.
The way that Gilbert saves the day is instead of actually killing the goons, he just like gets the amulet and like throws it like the ring toss carnival game onto Harold, which wakes Harold up. And then Harold, like, who we already know is strong enough to, you know, stand up to the goons, stands up to the goons.
Yeah, that was another weird additional plot point that I was like, why the fuck is this a thing? Was from like the beginning, I don't know, of the movie, they talked about her, Gilbert really wanting this like purple eyed panda. And he was so upset, and they like showed him trying to win the purple eyed panda at the Halloween festival carnival thing. And then obviously it was to lead up to this moment of him like throwing the amulet. But I was like, the whole time I was like, what is this like additional weird thing about this like prize stuffed animal?
But there was a reason.
There was a reason.
And we get the same ending where he ends up back with the queen, and you know, their coffin or their sarcophaguses close, or sarcophagi.
Yeah, that's what they say in the movie.
Yeah. They close at the same time, and then we get like the mummy's hand come. Oh, sorry. Same scene with Marshall where he's like, "Mom, you know what? If you love Ted, like be with Ted." And then we actually get a scene of him being nice to Ted at the end, so that comes full circle. And then we get the mummy's hand holding a placard that says "The End."
Yes. Difference here, though, was Harold did not give his amulet to Marshall.
He did not. There was not. It was. Well, I'll talk about this later.
Okay. Okay. Cool. But yeah, that's pretty much the movie. Lot of the plot was like very, very similar. There was a couple key changes, some that made more sense than others. But yeah, it was pretty true to the original film, which, you know, I'll give them that.
So main character differences: Amy was a new girl in town, wasn't previously their friend. She also wanted to be an investigative journalist. None of this was in the old movie.
No.
In this movie, Todd is a bully, not a nerd who has a crush on Amy. Bruce is Buzzy, a woman, all still a nerd though. Kubot isn't like the head man in charge. This woman that he's selling to is. He also didn't fake his own death. The saddest part, there's no Leonard. I could honestly cry at that. Harold is more animated, and more of like a funny character, like exploring technology and stuff. What does this mean?
I think I meant to write that on the top, and then it was supposed to go on like the thing up above.
So Danielle wrote only 28 minutes. It's not, as we discussed, it's 95 minutes.
There's a point in the movie where they're like, it's only 28 minutes to midnight. And I was like, oh, interesting. And then that was it. But I wrote this in the wrong section.
And that's pretty much it. All right. Tell us the plot point differences.
So like we said, main plot points, Kubot does not fake his death. We agreed this was an okay choice, I think. Initially, Marshall was more open about how much he didn't like Ted with his mom, because he was very much like, I'm not going to talk about it with you the first time around. There was that whole thing with Harold and like his walking around town, going to the dairy freeze, going to the hospital, completely non-existent. It's instead him like exploring the house. He interacts with their version of Alexa, which is Terry, and like the Roomba and the TV and all that stuff. There is like absolutely no cultural references in this movie. Like we said before, there was like specific songs, movies, like the Olsen twins. Yeah, there's like no pop culture references. And like I just mentioned, Gilbert's weird obsession with this purple-eyed panda, weird addition that somehow had a point. Marshall was angry when Gilbert didn't want to leave. At one point, his coffin, like the actual sarcophagus, is destroyed, and they have to use like a replica that's at the museum. So like that was completely different from the first movie. He didn't give him the amulet at the end, and this also final weird plot point that was not existent in the second one was that there wasn't any weird like romance between Amy and Marshall. We had that like
so sad.
Yeah, so sad. We had that moment of like Marshall or Amy trying to like almost tell Marshall how she feels in the last one. But yeah, no, that was not existent in this movie. Not there. Yeah.
All right, my post movies.
Let us hear it.
I said this new version was not as cheesy as I thought it would be, but it definitely lost a lot of the comedy that the first movie had for me. I think this one was supposed to be aimed more as kids, whereas the original felt like it was more the teen group slash maybe the young adult group. Also, they changed a lot of the references because, like I said, with the Olsen twins one, for example, and the Paperboy, those just wouldn't have made sense in 2021. But I missed the references. That was what made the movie funny for me. Being a 90s kid, the today's references were less entertaining for me. Like, oh yeah, he's playing with a Roomba. Like, who gives a crap, yeah. You know? And I think that maybe watching this one in 24 years, though, the references today will be just as entertaining as the 1997 ones were today.
We'll hard to say.
Just, you never know how a movie's going to age. We'll check back in 24 years.
Yeah.
I think this movie tried to spend more time and explicit dialogue on making it seem like the kids bonded with Harold. So, like, they made them make the movie with him, and they, like, had Marshall eat the pizza with him. They, like, specifically called him their friend multiple times. But it didn't feel as real as the original, where, like, they just were organically tied together. Harold and Marshall didn't have that sleepover heart-to-heart that they had. So I feel like this movie tried to make it, but it just – they couldn't replicate the original. Mm-hmm. But I said overall I enjoyed the watch, but if I had to recommend an over wraps to folks, it would definitely be the 97 version.
Amazing. You did just say over wraps, but I'll take it.
Oh no, it's under. It's under.
It's under. We're under the wraps.
Under the wraps. We're not over the wraps. We're under the wraps.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm going to read through mine and then maybe explain because I don't remember exactly what I wrote in here. But I said that was much better than I thought it was going to be. It did not hit the level of cheesiness that I thought it would. Similar to how you felt, like I thought it was going to be worse. I did miss all the cultural references though. We got like a really, really, really brief Star Wars one where he said, I'm going to use the Force. And that was literally it. But funny now, they have the licensing to make Star Wars references. So like, weird. I think what I liked the least about this one was how like fun Harold was. Like we mentioned before, he was like super animated. He was like way too goofy. Like I feel like they tried to rely on Harold as being like the comedy in this one. And like that whole dancing sequence, like I hated that. I like didn't want any part of that. I miss the old Harold who was like just a big goon basically. So I didn't like how much Harold did in this one basically. And similarly, I felt less emotional about this Marshall and Harold departure. I feel like they didn't bond as much as they did in the originals. I miss that heart-to-heart at the sleepover. I felt that the bond between him, like if I had not watched the first one, I don't even think that I would have felt at all sad in this departure, yeah. Right? Like it was it was just not there. They missed definitely the mark. I personally did though like what they did with Amy's character. I feel like she actually made more sense in this one in terms of like how she was introduced. Like I feel like she was just like a rando friend in the original movie where I don't know, we didn't know that much about her life like you mentioned. And this one just kind of like made more sense. Like we got more background on her, we got more reason as to why she could like relate to Marshall, and she was this new person who then had their like her investigative journalism gave them more of a reason to even want to look into all this weird Kubot stuff. It just like made more sense in terms of that stuff. All in all, not a bad movie. I prefer the original obviously, but I think this was a good and fun interpretation with a big hint of 2021.
I love that we had almost the exact same post movie.
Right?
I love that. Our first sentence is both about how it wasn't as cheesy as we thought, et cetera, et cetera.
Awesome. The cultural references, the bond, like on the same page. I think that just means that we have the exact correct takes.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what
exactly
that means.
Hot takes, but correct takes.
Exactly.
I love doing comparison. This was awesome. I don't know if Disney plans on remaking any other movies anytime soon.
I wonder.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I suggest that you, I think both would be a fun watch. I, like I said, I like the first one a lot better, but if you're sitting here and you're like, should I watch it? Like, go for it. They're good movies.
Go for it.
It's a good movie. Yeah. And that's all. We hope you enjoyed this little bonus ep, little comparison between the two. You know where to find us on Instagram at Disney Plus or Minus, all spelled out, on Twitter at Disney Plus or _. You can go to anchor.fm/Disney Plus or Minus to leave us voice memos. You can rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff, and catch us in 2 weeks for the next episode.
With another Spooktober coming at you.
Hell yeah.
Another Spooktober epi.
Okay. Bye,
everyone.